Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Masjid Darussalam, Toronto, Canada. Thursday after Asr, Salah 23rd of Ramadan, 1st of August 2013. The consequence of accumulating wealth. The love of Sawad ibn Guzayyah for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The meaning of youth in Islam. Whose dua is accepted? Hutama is the crusher. By working for akhirah, the dunya will come automatically. The bayan is presented by Hazrat Malana Subhan Dalvi Shahib Damat Barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzal Quran in Arabiya, wa hadana siratan sawiya, wa salatu wa salamu ala Muhammadin alladhi bu'itha rasulan nabiyya, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi alladhi nasaluku tariqan marziya. Amma ba'd. My respected elders, dearest brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, before I forget, I would just like to divert your attention towards this brown box behind my side, which has question box written all over it. This question box is going to be, inshallah, used tomorrow. If there are any brothers here, tomorrow is going to be a special youth bayan for all our youngsters who are in i'tikaf and who are also outside of i'tikaf. And this box is basically there for any queries that you might have that you may feel too shy to ask. If there's a person who's got problems, maybe sometimes people have girlfriend problems, this is what happens. And they have these issues, etc. If you want to write them down and place them in this box, then inshallah we will take a look at them and we will answer it inshallah. Tomorrow it's going to be a big Q&A session. There are also some friends of mine in the UK who are also sending messages with regards to questions, that they are listening over the net as well. So inshallah we will discuss these questions at length tomorrow, and hopefully there can be some good discussion out of it. However, it should also be said that we won't be taking questions which are just, you know, people standing up, putting their hands up and asking, I want a question. Rather, the box is here, so please do make use of it. Any questions which are, you know, fiqhi related with regards to our fiqh, they will not be answered, as we don't want to create any disagreements or disunity within the community. Besides that, you could put anything else in there you want. With regards to what we were discussing today, this afternoon we discussed the first ayat of Surah Al-Humazah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ, that woe be to that person, destruction be to that person who conducts his life in such a way in that he backbites on other people and he derides other people. And up to here we stopped and we gave a lengthy tafsir and a lengthy commentary with regards to what this actually means. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ. That we mentioned two sins that he had mentioned in this surah. One is with regards to that person who backbites another person, and the other is with regards to that who slanders another person. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the third and final major sin in this surah. He says, that person who hoards his wealth, he accumulates all his wealth, and he feels that this wealth is such that it will keep him alive for eternity. This money that he has acquired, it has deceived him into thinking that he will be amongst humanity till the end of time, and that there will be no end in his life. And as a result of this money, he begins to inculcate within himself and bring within himself characteristics of greed, of stinginess, of a person who generally does not like to spend, not on his own family members, not on his wife, not on his children, not on his friends, not on his relatives, but neither on himself. And he only uses that money in spending where he needs to. Some people may say shrewd, some people may say prudent, some people may say this person is clever, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this person who hoards wealth, this person is not a clever person. Now don't get me wrong. Our Shariat emphasizes the need to have savings, to have some money in which a person can rely upon in case anything happens. But what Shariat also says is that, look, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you some amount of money, and you see that from your daily expenses there is an excess, then use that money sometimes perhaps to buy a gift for your wife, or for your child, or for your brothers, or for your sisters, or for those people in your life who are of worth, maybe for your friends. So Shariat does not say that hoarding, to have savings is bad. Rather, it is putting that, you could say, that caution and that problem upon that person who feels that he can hoard his wealth and then not spend it on anything. And, you know, a person who holds on to his wealth as if it is the most important thing to him, this is what Shariat is condemning, and what Shariat is saying, and what our deen, and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this surah, is a grave sin. That person who hoards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much. He gave him that iPhone 5. I don't even know if there's an iPhone 5. Is there an iPhone 5? There's an iPhone 5. And he feels the need that he needs something else on top of it. He has clothes, but he needs more clothes. He's just hoarding things in, but when it comes to giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving sadaqah, he is really, really stingy. When it comes to seeing something that he likes, he puts his money down on the counter. And he immediately purchases it. But when he sees that there is a person who is needy, you know, many people feel that sadaqah, you know, to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merely just to give out, you know, to people who are poor. No, that money that you spend on your family members, upon your the people who are close to you in your life, this is also down as sadaqah. So not only will you be making the heart of somebody else happy, but there will be benefit in there for you as well. You buy something for your wife, maybe she'll make you good food. You buy something for your children, maybe they will become obedient to you. You buy something for your brothers and sisters, maybe they will stop using your own things. So there are good faida in this, and there is benefit in this, and a person should be of a generous nature. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was of this nature. Never would someone ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for something except that he would give it to them. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given a Yemeni cloth, and this was one of the finest cloths of the time. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would exercise extreme zuhud. He was, abstinent from the world. He was ascetic. His asceticism was out of this world. And he was completely away from the dunya, but somebody gave him this cloth. And he didn't have too many garments which belonged to him. Now what happens is that he goes home and he changes into these Yemeni garments. And he comes out, and one sahabi who sees him, sees this clothing, and he says that, MashaAllah, Ya Rasulullah, you are looking handsome, so amazing. Is it okay if I have these garments of yours? He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, okay, no problem. And he goes back, takes off these garments, puts his old garments back on, and he gives these new garments away to this man, to this sahabi. Now the rest of the sahaba radiallahu anhu are looking at this man. Why are you doing this to Rasulullah? He didn't have this clothing. This was something new for him. This was something given to him as a gift. Why did you go and take this away from him? He doesn't have any other clothes like this. This was something new. He was looking so handsome in this. Why did you take it away from him? So this sahabi turns to them and he says to them, calm down, calm down. The reason that I have taken this garment from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not so that I can wear it on a daily basis, but it is so that when I pass away, I can be buried in it, and this is my coffin when I go into my grave. This was their thinking. You know, there are many waqia. Now that I just mentioned one, there are maybe two, three sprouting in my mind. Just going a bit off topic. One story with regards to the love that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was one Sahabi by the name Sawad ibn Ghuzayya radiallahu anhu. He went for a battle with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was on the front line of the battle. And he was standing out of place, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was going past these rows with a stick, and he was pushing people back in line. He was saying, so, you know, we see sometimes Imam Makkah, he says, so, straighten your rows. So he's putting all the army in formation and putting them in line. And this one Sawad is out of line. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pokes him with a stick and he says, back in line. Now this Sahabi Sawad radiallahu anhu, he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, O Rasulullah, you have done transgression upon me by poking me with the stick. I want retribution and I want to do the exact same thing to you. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum again are stunned. What is he doing? What is he doing? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a man of justice. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. If there is wrong being done, then he will stand for justice. وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ Even if it be against one's own self. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dismounts from his horse. And he says to Sawad, he lifts his shirt up. And he says to Sawad, take the stick and do as you please. Take your retribution. Sahaba radiallahu anhum are looking. Is this man really going to do what we think he is going to do? And he drops the stick and he clings to the stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he begins kissing the stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah says to him, مَا حَمَلَ عَلَيْكَ يَا سَوَاد That what has come upon you, O Sawad? Why are you doing this? Why have you done this? Sawad says, O Rasulullah, as you can see that in front of us that there is a battle raging and I am in the front line of this army. There is a very strong possibility that I will not return from this battle. So I wanted my last meeting with you, with my skin touching yours. Allahu Akbar. Look at this love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was something, you know, we plead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days of Ramadan, that He gives us just an iota of this muhabbat that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But khair, we were talking about hoarding wealth and we got diverted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, يَقُولُ ابْنُ آدَمْ مَالِي وَمَالِي Ibn Adam, the son of man, says, my money, my money. وَمَا لَكَ مِنْ مَالِكَ And what do you have which is really yours from your wealth? إِلَّا مَا أَكَلْتَ وَأَفْنَيْتَ Except that which you eat and then it is finished. أَوْ لَبِسْتْ فَأَبْلَيْتْ Or that which you wear and then it is worn out. You wear it for a few days and then it goes into the back of your cupboard. Then many, many years later when fashion repeats itself. If you look at the things that we wear today, the Nike trainers that we wear today, all the things, tracksuit bottoms that we wear today, it was what people were wearing in the 70s. So it is only that which you... What does Ibn Adam have except that which he eats and then it is gone? Or that which he wears and then it is worn out? أَوْ تَصَدَّقْتَ فَمْضَيْتْ All that which you spend and then it is finished. What does Ibn Adam really have which actually belongs to him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying? That every single thing that he accumulates in this earth, when he passes away, you know, this is something that we fought for in this earth. You ask those people who are working and who are earning money, the hardship which goes into it, you know, waking up early in the morning, coming home late in the evening, that stress, that fikr of then doing preparing for the next day and doing the same thing again and again, that when that final, that weekend comes, finally I can get some rest and some poor souls who even have to work on the weekends. So for this money, insan struggles and he fights for it. But that same struggle and that same fighting when he passes away, it will be his wurutha. Those people who are his inheritors, they will be fighting in the same proportion over this wealth like he was fighting for it in this worldly life of his. That nothing that insan owns is his own. Just like the way we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong and to Him we return. This life of us, this wealth of us, every single portion of it, it will all be going back to one place. Towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of Qiyamah, a person will not move. لا تزول قدماء ابن آدم حتى يسأل عن خمس. Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah relates a hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the feet of the son of Adam will not move on the day of Qiyamah unless, until he has been asked with regards to five things. عَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَاهِ With regards to his youth. And where did he spend his youth? Was it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or was it in sin? Or was it in things which a person was doing in complete wrong? And let me just highlight something, that when we talk about youth in Shariat, don't think to yourself we're talking strictly about teenagers or young men who are up to 23, 24. According to the ulama, a person is considered young until he reaches the age of 40. This is considered a man's youth. And thereafter, it is going into old age. So this age, when a man is working in this time, this is known as his youth. Then thereafter, when his beard becomes whitened, and then he is regularly in the masjid, and he can stay in the masjid for as long as he wants, then this is what he is expected to do. Then he is expected to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the true work comes when a person is young, when his beard is black, when he's a young man, when he every sin there is possible to him, he can commit, but he still turns away towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he directs his attention towards his deen, and he says no towards all those things which are sin. Khair. One of the things which will be questioned will be with regards to a person's wealth. Where did he earn it from? And where did he spend it? Did he earn it through halal means? And did he spend it in a halal way? Did he use his money to gamble? Did he use his money to purchase haram things? Did he use his money? First, did he even acquire it? You know, many of us are such that when we go into the supermarket and we go into our stores, we look at the things that we are purchasing and we are looking at the ingredients. Okay, this may have pork in it, this may have this in it, this may have this. We are looking for the suitable vegetarian signs. But just like the way we look at these products, we must also be looking at these dollars that we have in our hands. And must be looking at it and thinking that this money that I have in my hand, that this currency that I have, has it come from a halal means? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in one hadith related by Imam Nawawi rahimahullah in his Arba'een, which is also related by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah in his Sahih, with regards to a person who is on a safar. Now just so you know, with regards to a person who is on a safar, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah mentions in his book Al-Adabul Mufrad, the book of good manners, under the title Babu da'wati al-walidi 'ala al-walad, the dua of a man for against his son, or the dua of a parent against his child. The father or the mother makes a bad-dua, a curse upon the child. Will it be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? This is what Imam Bukhari rahimahullah is beginning to question. And in this chapter, Imam Bukhari brings two hadith. The first hadith, which is the one that we want to speak about, he says, ثَلَاثَةٌ that three people, three, دَعْوَةٌ مُسْتَجَابَاتٌ, their dua is accepted readily by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا شَكَّ فِيهِنَّ, there is no doubt that their dua will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. دَعْوَةُ الْوَلَدْ, دَعْوَةُ الْوَالِدِ عَلَى الْوَلَدْ, the dua of that person who is a parent making a curse against that child. That child is a disobedient child, and it comes out of the tongue of man that I wish this happened to him. And then this will happen. And Imam Bukhari in the next hadith, he brings a whole story which we will be touching upon later on, maybe in Taraweeh. Second, da'watul madloom, the dua of a person, the dua of a person who is a zalim, a person who has been oppressed by a zalim, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the dua of that person who is being oppressed. That these people who are zalim and who are transgressing the rights of people, that person who has been suffering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that person's dua. And the third person whose dua will be accepted readily is the dua of a musafir, da'watul musafir. It will be accepted readily by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith of a person who is on safar. Ashghat aghbar. He is dirty, completely filthy, his hair is disheveled. وَيَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, and he raises his hands towards the heavens. وَيَقُولُ يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي, and he's making dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is basically, understand the context. He is in a state where his dua is readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُضِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ, his food is haram, his eating is haram, his drinking is haram, وَمَلْبَسُهُ haram, and his clothes are haram, وَغُضِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ, he has been nourished and sustained and maintained in haram. فَأَيْنَ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ, then how will this person have his dua accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it is very important that a person who has this wealth is spending it in the right way, and he's accumulating it in the right way as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test every single person with regards to the wealth he has acquired and where he has spent it. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning over here. كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ,
وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions over here now that such people who backbite, who slander, who hoard wealth, and they do not spend their money, they are just greedy with regards to it, they will be thrown into what is known as hutama. And what is hutama? Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah in his tafsir mentions that this is at-tabaqatu sadisa, this is the sixth stage of Jahannam. And this stage of Jahannam, hutama, is known as the crusher. Why? Because it breaks and crushes the one who is put within it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْهُطَمَى. Now what is this hutama? We know that this hutama is known as the crusher, that thing which destroys and absolutely dismantles the body of insan. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for emphasis, He says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْهُطَمَى. And do you even know what this hutama is? He's questioning insan. Does this insan who boasts with regards to backbiting and deriding and slandering, does he know what hutama is, this crusher is? He says that it is the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, muqada, which has been kindled. It has been burning for thousands and thousands of years, ready, waiting for those who will be thrown in there, these three types of people who will be thrown in there. إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَ فِي عَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدَ. That upon these people will be put huge pillars which will be sealed at the top, meaning they will be put in such a place, inside such a canopy, which will be sealed upon the top. They are like in a prison cell. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains this in a hadith which Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah brings in his tafsir. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَبْعَثُ إِلَيْهِمْ مَلَائِكَةً بِأَطْبَاقٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ وَمَسَامِيرٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ وَعَمَدٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ. That when these people are now put in the hatama, they are put inside this crusher, this fire, this furnace, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send to them angels. And these angels will be carrying in their hands hammers made from fire, nails which have been made from fire, and huge pillars which have been made from fire. فَيُطْبِقَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِتِلْكَ الْأَطْبَاقِ وَتَشُدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ بِتِلْكَ الْمَسَامِرِ وَتُمُدُّ بِتِلْكَ الْأَمَدِ. That these people will be such that they will be gathered and they will be put inside these pillars, and these pillars will be nailed down so that they are literally as if they are in a prison inside this hot burning fire which has been kindled for 1,000 years. A canopy will be put upon them so that they are completely sealed from all ways. The way they will be sealed, normally when you have pillars, there are gaps in between the pillars. But the way these pillars will be arranged, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions, لَا يَبْقَى فِيهِ خَلَلٌ يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ لَا يَبْقَى فِيهِ خَلَلٌ يَدْخُلُ فِيهِ رَوْحٌ أَوْ يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ غَمٌ. That this type of prison will be such that no mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can get in there. And no gham and no sadness of the people who are in there can get out. Meaning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that what will be the state of these people will be such that they will be stuck in there for eternity. No one who goes in there will be able to get out, and nobody who is already out there will be able to get in. They are there now. وَيَنْسَاهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ عَلَىٰ أَرْشِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most Rahman, will forget about these people while he is sitting upon his arsh. He will totally forget about these people. Understand the context that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Rahman and Rahim, when he forgets about a person, and this person is in such a dire situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala time and time in the Quran mentions, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عَنِّي عِبَادِي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my slave asks about me, then I am most close to him. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I accept the dua of that person who calls out to me, when he calls out to me. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. But over there he's saying, these people who have been put into this place, فَيَنْسَاهُمُ الرَّحْمَانِ. That Rahman, who was most merciful, will forget about this person. He will forget about this person. This person will no longer exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even bother speaking about these people. The people of Jannah, يَشْغُلُونَ بِنَعِيمِهِمْ. The people of Jannah will be busy with the bounties that they have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person will be taken by the bounties of Jannah, he will even forget about those people who are in the fire of hell. Meaning every such person who could have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, have some mercy upon these people. Everyone will forget about these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forget about these people. The ones who could have made dua for them will forget about them as well. وَيَنْقَطِعُ الْكَلَامِ. Then the worst thing which will happen is that all type of speaking between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to these people, never speak to me again. فَيَكُونُ كَلَامُهُمْ شَهِيكًا وَزَثِيرًا. Their speaking thereafter will be screaming and yelling, bellowing to the ends of to the nth degree. This word zafir comes from zafar. And this word zafar means a person who breathes into the extent that his lungs are full with air. And then he screams and he screeches out of his mouth. This is what the discussion will be in Jahannam. It will be screaming upon screaming. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning with regards to in this surah. That a person who backbites, who has characteristics of hems. Hems we mentioned, a person who backbites, who looks to create problems within people's lives. لا يدخل الجنة قطات. Now that person who is a person who likes to stir stories, he will not be going into Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned in another hadith related by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. من كان ذو الوجهين كان له لسانان من النار يوم القيامة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That person who is two-faced, who goes to one person with one type of story, then takes that story out of proportion, goes to another group of people, relates the same type of story but twisting it in order to create animosity, hatred, enmity between these people, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this person two tongues. Each of these tongues will be made by the fire of Jahannam. So this tongue is something, my brothers, that we have to be careful about. The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the first sin, that person who backbites and derides other people. He likes to belittle people. As soon as someone enters the room. And let me just tell you that backbiting is something which is not just done by the tongue. Backbiting can also be done by acting in a certain way, by using the hands or the legs or the body. That he knows that a certain person acts in such a way. And so he passes off gestures which shows him mimicking or imitating or gesturing in that regard, that he knows that this person has some type of deficiency in the way he walks. Or maybe he doesn't walk in a total masculine way. Or maybe he has tendencies which aren't totally masculine. And as a result, he does things with his hands and gestures which insinuates incorrect thoughts about that person. Then this person is also backbiting. And we mentioned with regards to slandering, a person goes openly to their face, that there are some people who feel that they are brave, that they are courageous, that it's okay, I won't backbite about that person, I will go straight to that person and I will say to his face, this isn't something to make fakr and boast about, this person is even a bigger fool. And then the third thing which we just mentioned with regards to just now, is with regards to hoarding wealth. And accumulating wealth and then not spending it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not spending it upon your family members. You know, my respected Ustad, Hadrat Mawlana Salim Dorat Sahib, you must have heard of him. He's very famous. Recently he came to our Darul Uloom for the khatam of the Bukhari. And there he mentioned really something really amazing with regards to wealth. He said that look for the akhirah. Search for the akhirah. Work for it. And the dunya will come into your pocket. Search for the akhirat and the dunya will come into your pocket. Have you not seen when somebody says, ke bhai pani lao, that bring me water, how does a glass immediately find its way into your hand? How strange is it that when you say to somebody, get me some water, a glass immediately comes into your hand and someone then pours it. So that if you work for the akhirat, the dunya will come as well. He mentions with regards to a person, with regards to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is what we'll finish upon. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam asked from his people, who will bring me the throne of Bilqis? Bilqis was the ruler of another place. She was a woman. She had this throne which was magnificent. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, who had command under his command the jinnat and many, many things under his command, he said that who will bring for me the throne of Bilqis? One jinn said to him that I will bring it to you before you blink even an eye. And then there was one person whose dua was readily accepted. He was a mulvi, he was an alim of the Zabur. He was an alim of the Zabur. One who was a scholar of the Zabur, of the book Psalms, which came before the Torah, the Tawrat. This alim lifted his hands up towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this throne of Bilqis into the court of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So our respected Ustad, Hadrat Mawlana Salim Dorat Sahib, mentions that if the Mawlvi of the Zabur, if the Alim of the Zabur could raise his hands up and bring the Arsh of Bilqis from such a far land to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, can the Mawlvi of the Quran not bring 4 rotis in a day? Can the Mawlvi of the Quran not bring that 4 pieces of bread to feed his family in the day? So a person should not be in fikr with regards to the world. Because if he works for the Akhirah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl and his virtue will be upon such people. It is just with regards to how much attention you give to the world. Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gongohi says, one person came to him with a sack of gold. And he said that, Hazrat, this is for you. And then he said, I don't want this gold. I don't want this gold. They said, no, Hazrat, this is for you, this is for you. He said, I don't want this gold. Don't give it to me. And eventually he went back into his room and the man left this portion of gold upon the slippers of Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gongohi, that when he comes to pick it up, to put his slippers on, he'll get this gold and he'll take it. After a while, he comes out and Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gongohi had his friend with him as well. And when Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gongohi rahimullah went to the slippers, he saw that the gold was there. And he said to his friend, that how strange is it that the dunya comes to everyone, the world comes to everyone. The only difference is that while others go running for the dunya and land at its feet, the dunya comes to our feet. Because he was a person who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam once saw the dunya and it appeared to him as a woman, very, very elderly, very old and very, very, you know, like a very, very old woman. But she was dressed in an extremely promiscuous way as if she was a prostitute. This was how the dunya came. She was embellished, old woman. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said to her, then who are you? She said that I am the dunya. I am the dunya. He said to her that how many people have you been in a relationship with? She said, many, many have been they who have tried to, I have deceived and I have said that I will come to you, I will come to you. But they ended up having none of me. He said, how many from amongst them have you been faithful to? And the dunya said to him, not even one, not even one. That the dunya, ghurur. That this dunya is only, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Now what is this worldly life? Except deceit and trickery that deceives a person. This is why Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah would say, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَعَزَّ dirham, that there is no such person who has respected this dirham and respected currency and wealth. إِلَّا أَذَلَّهُ اللَّهُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has disgraced that person. So my respected brothers, I urge you not to be those people who are, their mind is constantly on their money, 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 money. Yes, have some regard with regards to your saving, with regards to those bills that you have to pay, with regards to the money that you spend on your wife in providing for her, her food and her clothes and her shelter, and that which you spend on your children, which is their haq upon you, that you provide them with. But when you have this excess money, don't be that type of person that even he has to padlock his dustbin because he doesn't want any rat to go in there and take some of it out. That he is looking exactly what he is throwing out. Rather be a person who is generous like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he had excess, he would give it to any person he came. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said that if I was given a mountain the size of Uhud of gold, I would spend every last portion of it in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we should be in this regard as well. These are the three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Humazah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the ability to act upon what has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the ability to act upon what has been said. There is very little time now before our fast opens. Let us busy ourselves in some recital of the Quran. Let us also busy ourselves in making dua closer towards the time of iftar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to utilize these days which are now fleeting from us very, very quickly. The Ramadan will go away from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to utilize these days well. Inshallah, we will continue with our discussion. We had quite a heavy discussion right now. After the surahs which we will be discussing in Taraweeh today have this, topics with regards to marriage in there. So we will talk with regards to marriage tonight. Many of our youngsters will be very happy today as we are speaking about that. And we will also speak about characteristics and things like divorce, which is also comes within the discussion, which will be read inside Salatul Taraweeh today. Inshallah, I will see you later. JazakAllah khair wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah.